Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Again, we don't know when the Roki Sasaki news is going to drop. Could be any time between now and next Thursday. But there will be signs of teams that will and will not be signing Roki Sasaki. I mean, we know the Mets reportedly are out, but today they have already signed Dominican shortstop Elian Pena for $5 million. Top bonus in the 2025 class for a Latin American prospect. So, if we hadn't known the Mets were out, we would know that the Mets are out based on that signing. Because they're, you know, if you're not saving your money for Roki Sasaki, you know you're not signing him. The other indication would be if one of the finalists, the Padres, the Dodgers, or the Blue Jays, started making trades today to acquire more international bonus pool money. You can't do it until today.
Wait, the trades can be made today.
You can start making trades for more money under the international bonus pool. The Padres have like $6.2
million.
They can increase that up to, yeah, he did.
There is a cap, though, right?
You can increase it up to 60%, but if the Padres wanted to deal, you know, two or three prospects around for, hey, where we deal him for another $400,000 in money and deal him for another $300,000 in money.
That doesn't have to be done by the deadline yesterday?
No, it can't be done until today.
It can't be done until
today. You can't make
today.
Any of those
oh,
moves
God,
until
oh,
the
God,
new
oh,
deadline
God,
opens.
Oh, God,
so
oh, God.
Any trades to acquire more money wouldn't be a slam dunk because teams can do that.
Dodgers already did this.
They can do it today? You can't do it for this year until today.
No, but they did free up one deal that was promised to that shortstop who went to the Pirates.
And the Padres
instead.
Have also released players from the deal. So that can't really judge on that. But if you see the Padres or the Dodgers today making a couple of deals to acquire more, essentially, cap space for their international signing, that would be a pretty large indication that they are in the final stages of signing Sasaki. So keep that in mind.
Very cool.
All right, we will take a break from the Roki Sasaki speculation / dooming on Woods' part and talk a little college basketball. And I'll start with a minor rant. And it seemed to get a lot of traction last night. I was complaining about how late the game was for San Diego State. And I understand as well as anyone why the game was that late. Not San Diego State's choice. That was when they were assigned their start time based on national television requirements. 8 o'clock p.m., that was the slot for CBS Sports Network. The Aztecs, being the premier program in the Mountain West, you know, tend to get those TV games rather than the streaming games. When you get the streaming game on the Mountain West Network, yeah, you can start it at 6 if you want. It's not a big deal. They can stream whenever they want. But when you get a TV window and they've got two other games and you're on the West Coast, you tend to get the late slot. And the Aztecs got slotted in after, I think it was Texas Tech, Kansas State. It's a miracle. Didn't go to overtime. It looked like it would for a second.
Oh, my God, it so did.
But they did not have to push back the start more than a few minutes, which was nice. But it's still a late start. And you looked around Viejas Arena. And you saw a surprising number of empty seats around the arena. And now part of it is that school
notice.
Was still out.
I guess I'm more of a positive person
than you are. And it wasn't a bad crowd, and they were still loud and enthusiastic. The Aztecs fans are good, but...
You're right, school's not in session right now.
Yeah, but there were clearly some season ticket holders who just decided, you know what, it's too late for me to show up. Yeah. And that really is a shame. And I get it. The Aztecs aren't the only one. Our friend Jordan from North Carolina says they sometimes make Duke start at 9 p.m. on the East Coast. So, you know, the 6 o'clock game in the West Coast window. There are late games in college basketball. That's just part of the sport, and it does happen. But, you know, on a weeknight, on a work night, you're going down there, and, you know, you're parking in the parking garage. And I get it. You know, you can get out of there in 10, 15 minutes after the game. But depending on where you live... Like for me in Encinitas, if I wanted to go to the game and stay to the end, game ended at 10:15, out of the parking garage, you know, 10:30, 10:35. You're not home until after 11 on a work night. That's late. That's late for some people. And it's too bad that they're kind of forced into that. But it's also good that they're the team that is being asked to be on television every single time rather than, you know, just a streaming network.
Than the 7-Eleven app. You know, no, it's much, much better. Got off to a little bit of a slow start, as has been the case with the Aztecs. And, you know, you flip it on, and again, I'll just to admit, I watched half because I fell asleep. I was dead tired. Fell asleep, woke up, saw the score this morning, handled business, covered the spread, all of the above. And looking through the stats right now, obviously Miles Byrd continues to do what Miles Byrd does, Benny. He is a superstar on this team and a leader on this team. And give me those numbers. I just saw them in the UT. It's
25
insane.
Points, 7 steals, both career highs. And the only player, I think he's the second player in college basketball this season with a 25-point, 7 steal, 6 rebound game. And that's what he did last night. He was 5-for-9 from 3-point range. 5 3-pointers made was also a career high. Miles Byrd was just, you know, head and shoulders, to me, the best player on the court. And Colorado State has an NBA prospect in Neat Clifford, who was good, but the Aztecs held him to just 11 because they've got that good defense. It was a solid bounce-back performance by San Diego State, and that has become really the signature under Brian Dutcher. Yeah,
this is crazy.
They're going to lose games. Every college basketball program loses from time to time. It's just impossible not to. But they almost never lose 2 in a row. And now, in their last 39 games following a loss under Brian Dutcher, Aztecs are 35-4.
That's maddening. I mean, not maddening. That's like baffling how good that is.
It's a testament to, I think, Dutch's mental coaching skills. Like, they're really good at just letting go of the bad performances and fixing whatever went wrong and moving on to the next game and not letting one loss fester into another one.
How about this? The 37-1 in the last 38, when the next game after a loss is a home game at Viejas. 37-1. They go back to Viejas Arena. You can book it. They're going to win that basketball game. That is really remarkable from Coach Dutcher and his entire staff.
Now, you know, is everything perfect in Aztecs land? They were better on the glass than they were against New Mexico, but far from perfect. I think it was even on the rebounding. Offensive rebounding was still a bit of an issue. They had some good bench performance, 17 points combined from Wayne McKinney and Farrell Compton. Farrell Compton, though, needs to work on his free throw skills. Went 0-for-7 from the free throw line. I don't know the last time I saw a guy go 0-for that many in any basketball game from the free throw line. It wasn't like a bunch of in and outs either. They just weren't that close. He's a freshman.
Yep.
I guarantee you Dutch is going to have him working on it again.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't an issue because the Aztecs won by 15.
But it could be.
Heck, if you're in a 2-3-point game.
Foul him.
Those 7 free throws. You can't even have him on the court really at the end of the game.
Because he will be the guy that they go after.
You know, Nico Medved, who's the coach of Colorado State, I guarantee you when they were down 12, it was looking like, Farrell out there, because we're going to foul him and put him on the line and likely get the ball back every single time. So that's a potential area of concern and a liability for the Aztecs.
35%, Ben, this season. Not just last night, 35% of the season. What's acceptable and what's great?
Miles Byrd was in 94%, which is great. Anything above 75, I would say, is more than acceptable.
Okay, good. 35 is not good.
That's worse than Shaq.
Yeah.
In his career. That is a terrible, terrible free throw shooting.
Yeah, that's not good.
Now, 0 for 7 is going to drag that down, obviously, and hopefully that's a bit of a one-off. But, you know, it's a bit of a concern. The Aztecs, though, are definitely hitting an easier portion of their schedule. You never want to let up, though, and it was indicated last night. The New Mexico Lobos, who looked so good on Saturday when they hosted San Diego State. I mean,
trap game,
they
buddy.
Looked really good. They went in and lost 71-70 to San Jose State last night. I think San Jose State, who had only one conference win, definitely one of the bottom tier teams, playing in an empty gym up in San Jose, and somehow they blew that one. I mean, all the good work they did by handling the Aztecs really gets thrown out the window when you do that.
And it makes the Aztecs look worse.
It does. It actually doesn't. I mean, it gets them a little closer to second place because New Mexico suffered their first loss. But metrically, that's actually going to hurt the Aztecs as well because New Mexico's numbers are going to go down after losing to San Jose State. So it's kind of the catch-22 in the conference. You want to catch the teams, but you also don't want the teams that you lost to look that bad.
Correct.
Because it ends up hurting,
really crap teams.
It ends up hurting your resume at the end of the season. But that was just one of those classic let down after a big game, going on the road in the Mountain West performances. So
brutal.
You know, one I'm sure every coach, including Dutch, is going to be pointing to before their next game against San Jose or anyone. See what can happen.
See.
You let your guard down for just a second in this conference. And someone's going to bite you, like the Spartans did to New Mexico last night. So the next game for the Aztecs is Saturday, 5 o'clock start, so a very convenient start time. UNLV, a team that is not great this year, but always gives the Aztecs a tough game.
On the road or
here?
Okay.
Another one at home.
What day?
Saturday.
Saturday.
So a chance to, hopefully at this point, build a little bit of a winning streak. I think I was looking based on like KenPom. I was reading in Mark Ziegler's column. They should be favored in like 14 of their last 16, or now it's probably 12 of their last 14 after winning yesterday in the conference. So now it's, you know, don't let down. Take care of business. Beat the teams you should. Win your home games. Beat the lower tier teams on the road. And then steal one more game against a top team on the road.
Yeah.
You probably will still end up maybe winning the conference in the end.
Yep.
But that's, you know, it's a long road. Now that's a 20-game conference season. There's still 14 games left. They're 4-2, now tied with Colorado State, just a game behind New Mexico, half a game behind Boise. It's not decided by any stretch of the imagination yet. Okay. Any other thoughts? How late did you make it? Halftime? Paulie made it all the way.
Yeah, I had a basketball last night. I got home like right as the game was starting. Shower, all that. It's like almost halftime, so I was able to watch the whole second.
Let's say
half.
Paulie had a rooting interest to keep the score less than 132.
As did I, based on Paulie's recommendation. Yes,
and it came down. It was going to be close. It was one of those ones you're going to sweat.
Yeah, I don't know if you can call it a bad beat when there's 5 minutes to go and you're like, it's probably
gonna happen.
Yeah,
but then they kind of all stopped scoring and it got to the final minute. And they were still under, and then Colorado State tied it. So you still could have gotten the push.
Yep.
No harm, no foul. You needed was just no. And
they hit Colorado State hit the two free throws. That tied it. And then there was like 40 seconds left. So not the full shot clock. San Diego State has the ball. They're just dribbling it out. And I go, oh my god, like I'm home free.
He's at least gonna get the push.
You'll see teams just dribble the ball. They'll take the turnover and hand it over, and then the other team just.
Probably doesn't do anything.
Seconds.
Yeah, I thought you were good then.
Nick Boyd. Was it Nick Boyd?
Boyd or BJ Davis got a bailout 3-point.
There's
like,
2 seconds left of the shot clock.
Yeah.
He chucks it up. There's no chance the shot's going in.
But
the Colorado State guy jumped. He leans into it. Gets fouled for 3 free throws.
You could have swallowed your whistle on that one. I'm just saying. If you're the ref, you can swallow your whistle on that one if you wanted to.
Yeah, that one sucks.
Rooting for unders is the worst.
It's just nothing worse. That's a safe bet with San Diego State as you can get.
I know.
I was telling a buddy, I was like, yeah, it sucks, but I'm never mad when you take the under on an SDSU game.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, we've got Don't Do This is coming up next.
Got an update on the Philly story, right?
Twist.
The story, yeah, a little twist, and I wonder if it changes anybody's opinion about it. I read it yesterday and went, you got to be kidding me, man. Why am I Why am I surprised? I shouldn't be.
I don't know that bad fan behavior is ever justified, but this is going to make you at least rethink things a little bit. We'll get to that after a check of Kelly's traffic here on 97.3.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Well, I'll start with athletes behaving badly on flights.
It's
the category. Now, obviously,
that's the category.
You know, there's always two sides to a story.
Yes.
This was a story this week from a Frontier Airlines flight, which included UFC legend Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Nailed it.
It's a tough one. The undefeated fighter was...
Nurmagomedov
was removed before the plane actually left the taxiway.
Yep.
And we've seen, you know, is he drunk? Is he fighting other passengers? What's going on? Well, according to the Frontier Airlines spokesperson, Khabib was sitting in the emergency exit row. And if you know, when you're on a plane and you're in the emergency exit row, you get an extra spiel from the flight attendants, who will then ask you a simple question. Are you willing to accept the responsibilities of sitting in the emergency exit row.
Correct.
And when they said, when they asked Habib, he just didn't, he didn't respond one way or another. He just didn't, he didn't acknowledge them like yes or no. And they said again, sir, it's fine if you don't want to. We'll move you. We can even upgrade your seat if you'd like to sit somewhere else. Would you, are you willing to sit here and accept responsibilities? And again, just didn't answer, they said. So
it's a weird response.
Eventually, after, you know, not getting any responses from him, they brought on like the air marshal from then, escorted him off the flight and refunded his money. And Habib, for his part, says that's not how it went down, but wants to just kind of move on. And
well, how did it go down?
I don't know. There's not, he didn't really give his, he said, lady who comes to me with questions is very rude from the beginning. Even though I speak very decent English and can understand everything and agreed to assist, she still insists on removing me from my seat. What was the base for that? Racial, national, or other one? I'm not sure.
They have put out, Frontier's put out a statement. It says, video circulating on social media platforms do not capture this interaction. Instead, show a subsequent interaction after gate agent entered the plane. The decision to deplane the customer was in no way related to his ethnicity. We have refunded him and his traveling companions for their flights.
Do you like sitting in the exit row?
Very much.
A little
very,
extra leg.
Very much.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very much. Yeah. I rarely get it, but I do. It's, if I can score an exit row, yes, of course.
It's tough if you're flying Southwest,
yep,
where it's a free-for-all.
Yep.
And then if you're flying another airline where you get to pick your seat, you'd have to pay more, but it's worth it.
Yeah, 100%.
Like $40?
You ever sat first class?
No.
Never?
No, not really.
That surprises me to no end.
Yeah.
Well, you're not.
No, I did upgrade one, like in Alaska. I upgraded once on a fairly short flight because it was only like $50.
That surprises me as well.
Which was pretty cool.
I never
it was like one of those last second upgrades. And it was nice. It was nice. Yeah, but it wasn't a long flight.
I never fly long enough where it's really worth it.
Sure.
Like, most of my flights are the West Coast, you know, Seattle, San Diego. It's 2 hours, 2:15.
Yeah.
Flight to Vegas, 45 minutes.
Right.
Why spend extra, you know what I mean? It's like, I can handle it. Now, if I'm flying across the country, flying internationally, yeah, I would probably, it's worth it. I'm 6'4". Like,
yeah.
I want that leg room.
We flew for a honeymoon, went business class to London, and I fell asleep 5 minutes into the flight in business class, where you have every perk and amenity you could possibly ask for. And woke up as we were touching down at Heathrow.
Oh.
So it was a literal waste of money. I mean, I could have fallen asleep anywhere for 12 hours. But I mean, honestly, like I woke up and like, Mr. Wood,
or did you fall asleep because it was so comfortable in first class?
No, I could have. It was, we did like the late flight and it was, honey, we had one glass of champagne, cheers. And the next thing you know, I'm waking up as we're like touching down. I'm like, that was a waste.
If I sprung for the first class, I'd want to wake as long as possible and enjoy all the all the freebies that I could possibly enjoy. Hot towels. And
the whole thing.
Drinks and
meals. Yeah, cocktails and steaks and all whatever
else. I want to be Don Draper on the plane.
Yes, 100%. I'm with you. All right, does this change anything for you guys? I told you about the, we all saw the viral video of the guy out of Philly calling the Packers fan in Philly a fat C word, which is terrible. Like, it's just inexcusable behavior. He has lost his job. He has been banned from the link. He cannot go to Philly's game or Eagles games anymore. So you think, all right, well, that's definitely the end of the story. And maybe it should be. And I want your guys' opinion on this. Came out yesterday that the guy that was actually filming it, his name is Alex Basara. John Marks, our pal from Philly, tweeted, the vulgar Eagles fan is clearly a POS. But the Packers' fiance, who filmed the incident, he's got a lot going on. How much did he instigate this? Look at his attitude going into the link. He was wearing a body camera to video stuff for content. He also has multiple GoFundMes to pay for his travel to Packers games. Need more info, but it feels like we've been manipulated by this dude. A bit of, I guess, entrapment, perhaps? Again, I don't think you can excuse the guy's behavior. I don't. I think he absolutely should be banned from the link. You read this guy's GoFundMe, which irks me immediately. Immediately I get irked when I see this. My name's Alex, but you may know me as Bazarovsky Productions on YouTube, or simply just Baz. The Packers are heading to the playoffs and are going into Philly next Sunday to take on the 2-seed Eagles. Things are gloomy right now in Packers fandom, but this is for certain. I'm still confident and believe in this team. If you didn't know, I'm born and raised in PA, actually an hour from the Eagle Stadium. So I ask of you, the fans, send me to Philly. Send me into the belly of the beast. I've done it multiple times repping the Packers proud, and I'm fully ready to do it again. I've been cursed at, stuff thrown at me, even my first ever cheesehead ripped off my head and thrown into a fire bin while supporting my team in Philly, but I'm sure as hell not scared to do it again. I have a problem, number one, with people doing GoFundMes for
that. Going to a football game.
Bro, I've seen a few over the years. Where I'm like, I get that you want to go see Cage the Elephant.
We all want to go have fun.
Of course.
Yeah, you know?
Of course.
We have to pay for our own fun.
I'd like to play Pebble Beach someday. I'm sure as F not going to post a GoFundMe. Send Woodsy to Pebble Beach. Let's talk.
A body camera?
What would your GoFundMes be? If you had zero shame whatsoever.
First class flight. I've always wanted to fly first class.
Get Ben on a first class.
Nice vacation.
You know the funny thing is? People would donate to get back on a first-class flight. I would.
But in this case, we're also saying, is he asking people to pay him not only to go to the game, but then
to create content and instigate.
Instigate, you know, things with other fans. Again, doesn't excuse the Eagles fan behavior, but just because the Eagles fan was wrong doesn't mean that the Packers fan can't be wrong
as well. Wrong.
Yes. The Eagles fan was absolutely wrong. There is no denying that.
I think, by the way, M.M. McKee asked, people actually funded that? I don't think he got a dime from it. I really think it fell on deaf ears, man. But yeah, it just...
It's weird, though, because... we don't know what happened before and after
correct.
That video.
All you saw was the guy... And again, there's no excuse for that guy to say what he said.
My first instinct, I imagine yours as well, would be... You know, getting in that guy's face or something. Be like, bro, calm the F
calm down.
Down, we're
going
to have a problem,
yes.
Right? Not film it.
He can be heard at the end of the video saying,
got it.
I got it.
Yeah.
So in this world of, you know, in this world of content creation, in this world of clout chasing, I think you got to be careful on both sides, right? You got to sometimes realize, oh, they're looking to get a rise out of me. I definitely can't do it because I'm on film and it could get back to my employer.
Like I watched the video again just now. It's like a GoPro or something.
Yeah, it's on
his
chest.
I'm like, well, you're not filming the game.
Right.
With that camera angle and all that.
Right.
Like, that's specifically, you're trying to get some sort of content.
Correct.
And, again, I feel bad for the fiancé.
I do, too.
Unless they agree.
Unless they're in on it.
They're like, hey.
I hate this,
let's
man.
Let's rile up some people behind us.
It's like,
just wear it for me.
It should be such a black
that's
and white thing. Like, yes, you cannot call her what you called her. And I think we are steadfast in that, you know, in that declaration. But holy cow, you can't do this, what this guy's doing either. So does that change anything for you?
No, it just makes me not like someone else as well.
Yeah, yeah. It makes you now like dislike both parties, yeah. And the sympathy kind of goes away a little bit.
All right, running a little behind here. This was more of a don't do this when I saw this story, but I'll finish with a do this.
D-D mega do.
So ESPN posted a story a few minutes ago. It was very Dodger-centric. Shohei Ohtani and the defending World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers will be featured on 4 of ESPN's first 10 Sunday Night Baseball broadcasts. April 13th, May 4th, May 25th, and June 1st against the Cubs, Braves, Mets, and happy for you. Fantastic. The Dodgers are a high-profile team that's going to be on national TV a lot. We get it. All I wanted to see, though, was, well, who are the other games? And they don't even put it in the story. I was, like, annoyed. So I had to go through the actual every Sunday of ESPN's schedule to figure out who are the other Sunday night games. And you know what I learned? The first Sunday night game of the season. The teams that they are featuring in the very first primetime window. Atlanta Braves at the San Diego Padres.
All right.
Yep, first Sunday night game of the year is going to be the Padres at Petco Park.
I like that.
You know, maybe ESPN executives know something that we don't about some exciting news that's coming to Padres.
You are. I mean, he's out of his mind, dude.
And that's Don't and Do This for the Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
We didn't know that already, right? That they were Sunday night?
Yeah.
We knew they were Sunday night already? Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen that before.
That's okay. Right. I mean, it's all right. I doubt very much, though, there's any tea leaves to be read.
I agree. You're absolutely right.
Listen, guys, don't go through this year with all the high interest debt that you've accumulated. It's going to stack up. Let Loan Pronto help wipe it out right now. Their rapid equity loan makes it easy to pay off all your credit cards or tackle the 2025 home improvement project you've been putting off. Get cash in your pocket fast. No appraisals, no paperwork, no waiting. Their AI-driven technology gets you approved and funded in as little as a day. You know we're all impatient. We want what we want. We want it now. That equity is yours. You've worked to get it. Be able to take it out and use it, right? Pay off your credit cards, your car loan, your personal loan. So with low fixed rates, lightning fast transfers, you can do it too. Consolidate your debt, improve your home, take control of your finances this year. Be credit card debt free by this time next week. Don't wait. Call Loan Pronto now, 619-207-4336, or visit loanpronto.com. Get your free quote now with no hard credit pull, 619-207-4336, or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
Woods, did you just get the email from our engineer, JR, that we get twice a year? We have to always, we have to verify that we know how to use the delay, the dump button, as it, as it were, in radio, in case someone says a bad word.
Doo-doo.
And I always say I do. I have this button right next to me. It says dump on it.
I don't have one.
You don't have
one. Which is moronic to not give me one.
But I've got one. Paulie's got one.
I've got one.
And if I hit it, I'm not going to hit it right now, it pretty much erases the previous 7 seconds.
Yeah.
It's, it jumps to live. It's our delay.
We call it the gossage.
Yes, the goose. Because...
You're a nerd, too.
Because obviously, we're worried that, you know, if... if a bad word, a naughty word, got out over the air, that we would lose our radio license.
It's what we've been threatened for years.
Long time.
Long time.
Hey, you say something wrong, they will.
They'll yank FCC, your license. They will yank it.
Yank your license.
We'll get fined, and you will lose your license.
But does anyone actually ever lose their license?
From what I heard yesterday from San Diego radio legend and maybe the GOAT in San Diego radio, Dave Rickards, the answer is no. No, they don't.
Yeah, this was a fun little segment. If you missed it, Dave Rickards came in our 9 o'clock hour, talked about his career on the legendary DSC program, and this one stood out to both of us just because I never thought about it, but I kind of laughed when he said it. So you guys took some chances on the DSC show. Yeah. One of them, a legendary April Fool's Day prank when you convinced a good portion of San Diego that the space shuttle was going to land right over here at Montgomery Field. Tell me about that story, the lead
origin,
up,
yeah,
the fallout, and what exactly happened.
So April 1st is our show anniversary. That's our first day, April 1st, 1990. And so we consider that our high holy holiday, and we treated April Fool's Day as an opportunity to try and pull off a gag. And we did probably 7 or 8 really good April Fool's Day jokes, but nothing compared to landing the space shuttle, which I think that was in 92 or 93, which is when we peaked, and it was all downhill for the next 30 years after that. But, you know, it was one of those, if you saw it, if you were in the studio watching it, it was the most basic chewing gum and baling twine thing held together, the dumbest little thing put together that just lightning in a bottle got captured that day. And we just started the morning by saying, hey, it's not an emergency, but there was a problem at Edwards Air Force Base where the space shuttle normally lands. Who knew that Montgomery Field was the backup? Because it's so close.
Yeah.
They had some sort of power failure up there. So they're going to land the space shuttle here today. It's pretty cool. When are we going to get a chance to see that again? So if you want to see the space shuttle land, Montgomery Field this morning. And we faked up some phone calls and made it happening. And then we had just a ton of people out there to watch it happen. And right when the shuttle was about to touch down, Chainsaw, who was Commander Burns, as the so-called commander of the space shuttle, said, "Has anyone said April Fool's Day?"
Oh, my God.
It was, it was fun. It was a fun little gag. And the media picked up on it. Next thing I know, we were on CNN Headline News. And then all the guys and women who follow us in the Navy and the Marines were sending us newspapers from overseas. And you got to remember, this is before the internet and before email and all that. So newspapers were still important. So we're seeing these headlines and these newspapers from everywhere, from France to Saudi Arabia, about this gag that we pulled. I'm playing the tape on CNN because look at me. I made CNN. It's a big deal. Meanwhile, the president of our company and the general manager of our company are losing their minds. They're absolutely losing their minds. And as far as I can tell, the biggest complaint that they had was they might have to pay the police for parking. This is what they kept saying. It was. They kept saying, do you realize that we're going to possibly have to pay the police? And it's like, what are you talking about? They had to send police out there to direct traffic. And I said, that's their job. They do that every day. And, of course, no bill came from the police. Yep. And, you know, I don't know how many times at how many radio stations our managers have said, we're going to lose our license. We're not going to lose our license. No one's ever lost their license in the history of broadcasting. Jesus, settle down.
They do hold that over your head a lot in this business.
They do.
We're going to lose our license.
We're going to lose our license. And I got to tell you, one of the radio stations I worked for, you know, in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, something like that, the closest we came to losing our license was her fault because she was a convicted felon. And you're not allowed to hold a broadcast license when you're a convicted felon. And she sat us down. She sat us down in the conference room one day when Boyer decided to show his nuts on CBS TV. You know, this is 5 minutes after I told Boyer, when you go in there, don't do anything stupid. Be cool. Just sit there. In fact, don't talk. Don't even look at the cameras. You know, this is when we were working at an AM/FM TV station. We would do this cross promote. And I sent Boyer, and Boyer heard me say, I said, don't do anything stupid. And he heard me go, I better show my nuts on TV.
Oh, my God.
And so he did. And, you know, the camera tilted right up, and he started jumping up to get his nuts up into the camera shot. So we get called in to the owner/manager's office, and she's like, we're probably going to lose our license over the da-da-da-da. Nothing happened. She was the one who called the FCC and said, one of our guys showed his nuts. I was like, are you crazy?
Oh, my God.
Well, we got to get out in front of this. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't know anything about it. You get behind it. You hide.
Hide.
You tell people.
Don't answer the phone.
Nothing happened. No. I don't know what you're talking about. We didn't do anything like that. And, of course, she goes on to be a convicted felon, and she's the one who was going to cost us the license. We never got fined a day in our lives.
That's so refreshing to hear, because I'm threatened all the time by management here, and now you've just taken the reins off of me, Dave Rickards.
Damn
thank
right.
you. Yes, exactly. And we will be pushing the envelope probably on Friday, just so you know.
So I got curious.
I'm nervous about this.
And I tried to look. So, were there any radio stations like that really did lose their license over something that happened on the air? And as far as I can tell, has not happened in a long time. Now, there has been some for like bribing congressmen and stuff.
I was going to say, what do you really have to do?
Don't
to lose
bribe
your
congressperson for an FCC license. They may take it away, Woods.
It's not as simple as accidentally dropping an F-bomb or something.
Yeah, I could not find anything, at least in recent history, that supported that notion. But there was a station, I think this was maybe the early 80s in Tucson, and they made up a story. Not an April Fool's Day prank like Dave did, but they made up a story about a kidnapping. And it gripped like Tucson. Like this girl has been kidnapped, and they did this big like news coverage like to drive up ratings, like, oh, we're going to capture the audience. But it was completely
all fake.
Fake. And they actually did take away their license.
So there's a kind of an adage, and you never want to fool your audience, especially these days. I think, you know, people don't want to be tricked. They want to be entertained. They want to laugh with you, at you, whatever. But you can't fool your audience. We did a bit on the Mikey show when I was on it once that drove the audience crazy. And it was just us talking about a normal story, but we would all have these sound effects going off from our phones. Different, like, just on our phones, like, moing, like, just ding, ding. So, everybody heard that, and we didn't address it. We just kept plowing through it, and it, like, infuriated people. You don't want to play sirens and things like that. You don't want to fool them. And you especially can't make up a story about a little girl being kidnapped.
I had to switch. I remember somebody was, we had a normal police alarm, a siren, and somebody's like, oh my God, I totally thought I was getting pulled over or something. I'm like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah. You're right.
And so now it's a funny siren.
Yeah, you don't think you're getting pulled over by the cops.
No.
Yeah, you don't want to stress anyone out badly.
Yeah. That's
not, I mean, you know, you should be punished. your own listeners will punish you for that.
Correct.
If they're unhappy with you. That's the problem there.
So they did actually pull their license. I think that's probably a good idea. What's the name of the show?
I don't know what the show was.
Where was it? Tucson?
Tucson, like in the 80s.
Yeah, I don't have the stomach for a bit like that, you know, especially as it pertains to a child kidnapping.
That's not good.
Who's the guy that goes in and sells his show on that? Hey, I got a great idea.
And then who's everybody else that goes,
oh, sounds good.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That.
That is awful.
That's bad.
I'm going to do a little more research. I'm interested.
See if you can find more. I taught tiny blurb. I didn't get any of the details.
Wow.
All right, we're going to check traffic. Somehow I managed to get Woods to watch golf again last night.
Yep.
Tiger Woods was center stage. The question is anyone going to keep watching?
Correct.
The TGL, the Indoor Golf League. We'll get to that after check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, tell us about your little video games.
So, I think I realized why Tiger Woods wasn't on the first episode of the TGL last week, because they knew that they could buy another week of interest in ratings by saving Tiger for week number two. And, you know, they got me. I wanted to see how Tiger looked and, you know, how he handled the indoor arena that they set up in Florida for his TGL Golf League, his team, the Jupiter Links Golf Club, with his teammates Kevin Kisner and Max Homa, taking on the LA Golf Club, owned by Serena Williams' husband, and Alex Morgan was one of the owners, and it was Justin Rose and Colin Morikawa and Sahith Thakala, and they played just like last week's match in the arena. Tiger came out to Eye of the Tiger, and you know, it was everyone was into it, seeing Tiger out there. He striped his first shot right down the middle and got the big cheers, and it was good to see Tiger competing, even in an indoor fashion. He didn't have to walk anywhere.
No,
you know, you're right
looks
there.
Great, man.
Look good.
Swings like, dialed, you know, I mean, except for that wedge, but yeah.
His team, though, struggled. I mean, he hit one in the water, but the funniest part of the night was Kevin Kisner, who is a, you know, PGA Tour player, although he's been doing more broadcasting lately, I think, than playing. He was awful. I mean,
terrible.
Awful.
Just like us.
He had like three in the hazards on drives. But the worst came, so we've told you about this arena, if you haven't watched it. They have the simulator, the big giant movie screen golf simulator, but they also have a real life-size green that changes shape and spins around and has real bunkers and you chip. So when you finish out the hole by the green, you're actually playing golf inside, not on the simulator. And in one of the later holes, Kisner put his ball in the bunker next to the green, you know?
The real bunker, real sand.
So he's in there, and no one's really thinking much of it. And he comes and does what I think all of us amateur golfers know that we have done many, many times. Absolutely blades a line drive.
Line drive.
Like 100-mile-an-hour line drive. This thing is heading on a trajectory that's going to take it straight into like the third row of the crowd and could possibly kill someone in the audience. Fortunately, like 1 in 1,000 chance, it goes right off the flagstick.
Yep, hits the stick.
Just like, you know, hits it dead square on and bounces away, you know, 40 yards off to the side. Tiger and Max Homa just lose
they
it.
Die.
Laughing.
They just die laughing
at what had to be one of Kisner's most embarrassing moments of his life. I mean, you're a professional golfer. Yeah, I mean, I get us amateurs. I know I would do this. I was in that arena. You would do the same thing.
I've done it many times.
For a professional golfer who's so good on sand play, you go, a bad shot is when they hit it 12 feet away instead of 4 feet away.
They added some of the things that I wanted, you know, the swing speed, the ball speed, the trajectory, all that. That was great. I love seeing that stuff. I'm kind of a data nerd when it comes to golf. I'm interested.
Yeah, they're swinging at like 130 miles an hour. I'm going, ooh, if I get over 100, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm watching that. So I was sitting there with Taylor actually watching it, and he loved it. He's four, and he goes, I want one of those. That's not going to happen. A, we don't have the room for it. B, we can't afford it. Ask your grandmother. Maybe she'll get it for you. But I we're not putting that in our home. But he really was into it. We sat and watched for probably 30 minutes. And he liked the, you know, the ball flight. And it was cool. Here's the problem, though. One of many problems. These matches have been blowouts.
Yeah, the first two have been absolute boat races. You know?
And it's too long. I got up, I watched 30 minutes of it, I was intrigued, and then it was there off to a 5-0 lead, and I go, all right, well, I mean, this is pretty much over, and you start doing other things. I can't fathom sitting down and watching an entire entire match.
I mean, I think they want to win. They're competitive. They're taking it seriously.
Oh, they're taking it seriously.
You know, both weeks, one team has just been a lot more competent than the other team. And yesterday, you know, the LA team won 12-1. So there was no drama in the last few holes. I thought it stretched out longer. It went beyond the 2 hours to like 2.5 hours running over. But it also moves really fast. I don't know how they fix it, if they need fewer holes.
Fewer holes.
I think a simple thing would be to escalate the value of the holes a little bit as you go on, so even a team that falls behind
can win,
has an opportunity to catch up a little bit at the end.
Do we need 3v3?
Maybe 2-on-2.
2v2.
Just, you know, take one person out of the equation. I love like that idea, too,
three
actually.
Is a crowd. You know, I really believe that. When
you're
doing
more
a match,
interaction when you're going to get take more, a person away.
It's exactly right. It streamlines the broadcast a little bit, too. I was reading an article about it this morning, and they said, look, the broadcast needs to figure out what they want to be. Is it fun? Is it serious? What is it? How are we going to do this? Like, the blowouts, though, that's what's going to kill you. I mean, you know, watching your team get blown out 12-1 is just not fun at all. But it was great to see Tiger. Great to see Colin Morikawa, great player. Him talking about, you know, Tiger being the GOAT and all that was great. Great seeing Charlie Woods in the stands, who's got a bright future ahead of him on the golf course, busting his dad's balls for, you know, flying one over the green into the water. But yeah, I enjoy it. I do. I enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun, but it doesn't hold my attention for longer than about 30 minutes.
If real golf is more your thing, of course, next week is the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines.
And they got a great field.
It's pretty good. I'm worried about, you know, Xander Schauffele, who's always a headliner in his hometown, had to pull out of this week's event. He was supposed to play in the desert at the American Express this week, but is dealing with some sort of injury, I think, and I don't know how serious it is. So crossing my fingers that Xander gets healthy in time and can be part of the field next week at the Farmers Insurance Open, which, remember, runs Wednesday through Saturday next week at Torrey Pines.
Golf's in a weird spot right now because some of the biggest stars of the game are hurt, and they're not playing. Scottie Scheffler is not playing. Xander Schauffele is hurt. I mean, that's not good, Ben, for a league that has lost most of its interesting players to the LIV Tour.
Yeah, you know, Scotty doesn't usually play at Torrey Pines.
Right.
Not part of his calendar, but, you know, his presence is going to be missed at some of the other events. And, you know, Torrey's been hurt by this, you know, the new elevated events where, you know, it's been Phoenix and Pebble, but they're not getting that, you know, $20 million bonus that draws all the top players. They get some of the top players, but it used to be when Tiger Woods came every single year, Torrey was like a premier destination on the early season golf calendar. Tiger made it into a massive media event. Now it's still really fun. I mean, you go out there, it's a party.
It's a blast.
It's a blast. But in terms of like the golf calendar and the prestige, it's gone down a little bit.
Yep.
And you wonder, you know, what does that mean for the future of the tournament and it's going to survive and on the PGA Tour schedule.
And that's, you know, that's part of the equation. But really, the main equation is that the PGA Tour is just lacking in stars right now. They're lacking in big personalities. Even Scotty, who's the best golfer on the planet, isn't the...
I mean, yeah.
He's fun to watch.
He missed Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka and the LIV guys.
100%, man.
Every story needs heroes and villains.
That's exactly right.
And they separate them all out.
It's a glass of milk, dude. It's a glass of milk right now, and you need to get a little flavor in there.
All right, we'll come back. Notre Dame is playing for the title, which means revisiting the greatest Notre Dame movie of all time or not.
Not.